flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It's a bit of a harsh phone number in retrospect. Gross HD, but it's snappy. You know, Fitzy, you want to remember those things when you're dialing them up is what you want to do.
I've worked so hard and spent so many hours in therapy trying to forget about Young Thundercat. I feel like Hart and I were talking about this last week. That may have been such a cringe-inducing moment. We know Stacey James or somebody came to him right afterward and said, like, yeah, that tested real poor.
Do you know how many times he said it? Do you know how many times? It must have been like 7 or 8. It was an uncomfortable amount. It was an uncomfortable nickname anyway, but then the amount of times he said it was uncomfortable.
I think a lot of people immediately went into like a snap judgment of, oh, I'm already out on this.
I wasn't far from it, I can tell you.
Yeah, that was, I couldn't believe, and what that also did was created this level of distrust between a lot of fans and Gerard Mayo / ownership, because that made them feel like, oh, so you guys have just been best buddies in cahoots behind closed doors and this whole entire time while the Belichick tenure was coming to an end, you guys have just been whooping it up behind scenes, you know, the Thunder buddies. That I think that created a level of distrust between the Mayo administration and fans that hasn't really recovered since.
No, it's a good point. Like, oh, you're that tight with the owner? Well, now we know what's going on with Bill and why he was shoved out and why there was a wink and a nod agreement and why you were comfortable enough to carry your baseball bat around to meetings, et cetera, et cetera. It's a
now they call me Batman. I mean, like, wasn't that like the old Lean on Me movie? Yeah. Like the
It's a lot of, there are a lot of hits this year from Mayo, if you want to call him that. But fortunately for him, I really haven't heard any in the last...
They used to call me Crazy Joe, but now they can call me Batman.
There it is. There it is. How about Nick? Ready to go. But it's... he didn't have any of those in the last 24 hours, which is a mild win, but that's important for him. He needs little wins like this. I know it's a low bar, but if he had another one that he had to walk back today, I don't know that he can recover and come back from that. So at least from a PR standpoint, he felt pretty buttoned up after the game and this morning. I'll give him that.
Yeah, I'm glad that there's no walk it back Mayo. I was thinking like he needed a treadmill sponsor or like a Skechers or a comfortable pair of shoes or orthotics to sponsor the Mayo's Walk It Back Monday segment. But I was thinking during the break, you know, between the two coordinators, you were talking about like you feel like Mayo may have done enough yesterday to earn his job.
Yeah,
I
wouldn't bring him back, but I'm nervous he did enough for the Crafts to keep him. Yes,
I agree. I think he is. I always thought he was going to get a second year as well because he's just been doomed, surrounded by people that weren't ready for their moment. Or maybe if they were, they needed more competent coaches and greater football minds around them as well, Jones. But between there's likely going to be one coordinator that gets canned this offseason. I feel like someone's going to be the sacrificial lamb or the scapegoat. So who do you feel has done more with less between the two? Between Covington, who had the spine of his defense basically ripped out early on with losing Bentley after week one, minimal Barmore and inconsistent Jabril Peppers with the domestic incident and the arrest, as well as now the host of injuries the guy's playing through, or Alex Van Pelt, who was saddled with an old broken down quarterback, then ultimately a rookie quarterback, followed by no offensive line, no elite talent on the outside, and a running back that has fumble issues.
To me, unquestionably.
That's an odd question.
To me, unquestionably, it's Van Pelt. Van Pelt's done a better job. I would bring him back out of the two.
Same.
But I don't need either of them back, but now I got to pick one. Van Pelt's easily done a better job with what he's been given. Yes.
Yeah, I actually think he's not getting enough. And he gets the saving grace of, oh, so you're partly responsible along with T.C. McCartley and Ben, what would you say, you McAdoo around here. You guys are kind of responsible for the good work you've done with Drake May, who, yes, did contribute to the loss yesterday, but is so much more of a net positive for the Patriots now and going forward that I'm not here to entertain, you know, a host of Drake May criticisms.
So, look, we'll get into all of it. Your phone, 617-779-7937. That's also your text number. So, you know, how much blame is on May? You were just alluding to it there. I think for yesterday's loss, a lot. I like the prospect, yeah. But for yesterday's loss, a lot. Ramondre Stevenson, regrettable contract, the worst fumbler in the NFL since 2020, one of the worst in the last, whatever it was, 10 years, a decade plus in the league with 7 fumbles already, plus Jerod Mayo and whether or not he's done enough to keep his job. But Phil Perry wrote about this kind of late yesterday, like relatively close to kickoff. I don't know how much this got buried and overlooked. But he said recent opponents, writing about the job security of Mayo, Van Pelt, and Covington, which is what you're talking about here, Fitzy. Yes, recent opponents felt as though New England's primary issue was due to those wearing helmets on the sidelines, not the headsets. So blaming Elliott Wolf and the roster, not the coaching. Quote from a rival GM. The quarterback, Drake May, looks like the real deal. He just needs a lot of help, especially on the offensive line, which I've been told Fitzy has opened up like the southern border. The scheme defensively is not bad, said an opposing offensive coordinator. We've seen worse. It's not exactly a ringing endorsement, but okay. Their problem is they have one good player, Gonzalez, and a bunch of those guys who played good football for them in the past aren't themselves right now. Mm-hmm. Phil continues, speaking to several sources around the league who have experience with hirings and firings at the head coach and coordinator level, for them, there are two paths that seem to make the most sense for the Patriots moving forward. One would be to start over with an entirely new staff, which I'm in favor of. The other would be to keep all three, Mayo, Covington, and Van Pelt, and allow them to try to get their team back to contention with a roster that should be able to improve this upcoming offseason. The thinking in the latter scenario, even if you have designs on swapping out coordinators and keeping Mayo, coveted options for those jobs could be hard to come by. If tethered to a head coach who could be on the hot seat in year two with a roster that appears to still be in need of multiple offseasons of rebuilding, will a coordinator or coordinators truly be set up for success? So Phil is saying, from talking to people around the league, it's an all or nothing approach. Either fire all three of them, mm-hmm. or bring all three back, because are you really going to do better than Van Pelt or Covington in a potential scenario where you're tied to a coach who won't survive the next year? No one's going to want these jobs, is what Phil is hearing around the league. So an all or nothing, they could all be back. I still don't believe that. I don't want to believe that. But that's what Phil's saying. All three could be back next year.
What defensive coordinator, A, is going to want to come into a place that is in massive transition like this, like you just said? And two, who's it going to be? Who's going to come in with someone who has no familiarity with this talent on a team that's trying to turn a frigate ship around in the middle of a canal? Like, if you presented these two scenarios, Jones, they either all come back or nobody comes back and they blow it all out. They all come back is probably 65-70% the option. It's going to happen. I mean, really, they're going to possibly have an introspective moment this offseason where they say, all these guys were in the first year. We didn't give them enough talent to win. That's on us. Now we're gonna give you the checkbook. Now you guys can go out. Here's the Venmo password. Go get all the trench beef you need. Go get some playmakers. Get healthy. And then if we give you guys the tools that you were craving or crying out for this year and you still can't win, now I think they'll all go at the end. If next year it's another 5-12 affair and it doesn't look like there's a brighter future for 26 and beyond, everybody gets blown out.
Yeah. I'm with Gerard on that one. Everybody's back. Everybody's back. I still don't want to believe that. I don't believe that. But Phil's very plugged in. I just can't imagine Kraft would say, run it back. Run back the same crap thing. We're not going to take anybody's job. We're just going to bring everybody back from their worst year since 1992. If they win three games, it's the worst year they've had since 1992, and it feels light years worse than a year ago, which was really, really bad. So I can't imagine they bring everyone back, but that's the scenario Phil paints. What do you think about that? All or nothing approach from the Patriots. All three of Mayo, Van Pelt, and Covington could survive. You can jump in on that, 617-779-7937. Rays and Cumberland. Go ahead, Ray.
Hey, what's up, Jones? You and Fitzy are a great combination. Loving the show today. But the thing that stuck out to me yesterday was the separation of the wide receivers. Booty had a very good game, but I thought Kendrick Bourne was terrible. Douglas can only get open five yards from the line of scrimmage. And where was Jalen Polk yesterday? Are they admitting to us that he's a bust? Because he got very minimum plays. And Baker yesterday I thought was terrible.
Okay, I barely even noticed Baker, but I know he played more snaps than Polk. I'll get you the exact same snap count.
Three.
Is that all it was?
Three snap. Honestly, he should have just gone to the anchor in and done a review of the original Buffalo Wings.
Nick, wasn't he on the field?
He was on the Ramondre backwards pass, yeah.
He's literally like the tiki doll that Greg Brady wore around his neck that almost drowned him in that famous Brady Bunch episode. When the guy is on the field, terrible things happen.
Jalen Polk had three plays. Nick is right. Javon Baker had eight. I didn't really notice either one, but Nick pointed out that he was on the field for that turnover. I will say this, not to channel my inner Mayo, but I will say this. Booty, I was ready to cut him last week. Booty showed a little something yesterday. I didn't love him questioning the coaching after the game and all the drops he's had and handing the defense interceptions. That was frustrating me, but Booty, to his credit, played well yesterday. I will give him that.
He did play well yesterday, and he seems to be the best deep threat, if such a thing exists on this team. Jones, I'm sorry. I'll never get over it. It is now my cross to bear and a hill that I'll never be able to climb. The fact that Elliott Wolf traded out of 34 and went value play and got Polk and Baker for the price of McConkey. McConkey's 170 yards away from 1,000 yards his rookie season. Jalen Polk and Javon Baker don't have 1/6 of his stats combined. Like, this was such a massive overthink. I'm never getting over this. I'm never.
Oh, I don't blame you for that at all. And here's the thing. It's not just McConkey's egregious because they traded out of that pick, but you also could have moved up, right? You were at pick 33. Mm-hmm. So you could have moved up and moved around, or I'm sorry, pick 34 rather. You could have moved up or around. Like, Xavier Worthy was at the end of the first round, 28. Ricky Pearsall was at 31. Xavier Leggett was at 32. Keon Coleman was the pick before you at 33. You could have moved up for any of those guys. If you like them, you could have stood pat and taken Ladd McConkey. Instead, they moved down and got Jalen Polk. So, like, out of all of those guys, and McConkey's the best, no argument here. Out of all of those guys, you got the worst. You got the one guy who really, truly can't play and has now fallen behind the other guy in that trade, Javon Baker, in terms of snaps. It's a disaster, and it's the biggest red flag for Elliott Wolf. I don't really blame Wolf a ton for free agency this year. I blame ownership more than that. I don't like the Chukwuma-Okorafor signing. I hated the K.J. Osborne signing. But those are small-money moves. He wasn't allowed to spend. So I'll look higher than him in free agency. You know, he did nail the Judon trade. That's a mess. What?
I apologize. I just refreshed the stats.
Oh, good.
McConkey has 69 catches.
Nice.
For 960 yards and 5 touchdowns.
Yep. That's pretty good.
Jalen Polk has 12 receptions for 87 yards and 2 touchdowns. And Javon Baker has a Cane's Donut.
I can't believe he has 12 for 87 and 2 touchdowns. I can't even believe he has that good of numbers.
It's just, it's unthinkable. It is truly, truly that you did not take they blew that whole draft pick. And then the offensive line, I'm surprised more people didn't tell Phil Perry that, like, they actually think that what the Patriots did with the offensive line this offseason was contemptible. Like, that they would never, ever, no other GM would ever try to perpetrate that on a team and say you're fielding a competitive squad. It's so bad.
It's
historically bad.
It should be fireable. So what if they run the whole thing back with all of the coaches and coordinators next year? That would be embarrassing. But that's a possibility, maybe even a probability, according to Phil Perry, NBC Sports Boston. 617-779-7937. Billy Lanny with all the latest here in trending. And then we'll take you back through week 15 in the NFL with what happened right after trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Patriots fall to 3-12 and have dropped five straight after yesterday's 24-21 loss to the Bills in Buffalo. Drake May finished the game 22 of 36 for 261 yards, two touchdowns, and an interception. The Pats have two games remaining on the schedule, beginning with Saturday's matchup against the Chargers at Gillette Stadium. Week 16 wraps up with the Monday Night Football game between the Saints and the Packers. Kickoff is at 8:15, and you can hear the call of the game right here on 93.7 WEEI FM with Westwood One's coverage beginning at 7:30. According to Jeff Passan, right-handed pitcher Walker Buehler and the Red Sox are in agreement on a one-year, $21.05 million contract, sources tell ESPN. The Bruins and Celtics return to action tonight. The Bees host the Capitals. Puck drop at the TD Garden is at 7, and the Seas are in Orlando to play the Magic. Tip-off at the Kia Center is also at 7. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI and streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Couldn't sit on the couch all day? Well, we've got you covered with
What Happened
on Jones and Keefe.
That's right. Adam Jones filling in today for Rich Keefe on the most electrifying 10 to 15 minutes of sports highlights and football talk in all of New England. It's time for What Happened in Week 16 of the National Football League. Of course, your football weekend and the football solstice got off to a tremendous start. And by tremendous start, I mean at least there was competitive football on TV Friday night. Notre Dame just running roughshod all over Indiana. And on Saturday, we had five electrifying football games, three college games that were absolute blowouts. But we did have two professional games that mattered as far as the AFC's playoff landscape goes. So first thing we should do is we should go out to the land of barbecue and beefy people.
What happened?
That's right. You know what happened? Patrick Mahomes in a supposed high ankle sprain. That's what happened.
Second down and 8. Mahomes with time. Nearly tripped. Mahomes, first down. Mahomes, touchdown. What bum ankle. 15 yards for number 15.
The Chefs bundle Ruski it up and take it down 27-19 over the Texans. Another stellar day for Patrick Mahomes. 28 for 41, 260, one pass and one rush, and sadly, another season-ending gruesome injury for Tank Dell on the Texans.
No, that was all. He spent an extra night there in Kansas City.
Awful.
After that injury, he was having a big game as well. Stroud, not good. Hasn't been good all year long. Couple of picks in the game. But on Mahomes, They said it right there on the broadcast. What injury? He's running around. It's the longest touchdown run of his career. I think it was 15 yards or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. I give him a lot of credit. I know Patriots fans think he's probably making up the injury or whatever. I give him a lot of credit for playing through injuries the same way Brady did. Mm-hmm. Brady never missed time outside of his torn-up knee by Bernard Pollard. Mahomes missed a couple of games a few years ago. Other than that, he doesn't miss time. That is a very, very, very underrated thing that Mahomes deserves a lot of credit for.
Yeah, absolutely tough guy. And you see, if you watch the quarterback docuseries, all the work he puts into his dad bod in the offseason to get through the rigors of the NFL. So Shout out to him and his 14-1 Chiefs and the referees that helped them every game. Oh, I sound like a bitter Patriots fan. Speaking of bitter Patriots fans, there was a game in Baltimore played just after that.
Hey, what happened?
Well, I'll tell you exactly what happened. Dangerous Wilson thought it was 10 years ago. Spoiler alert, it wasn't.
Here's Wilson again. Going, this big seam there. Wilson going to take off. Look at him go. Inside the 10. Russell Wilson decked inside the 5. Ball comes out. Who's going to grab it? Ravens have it. Ardarius Washington with the big hit.
Russell Wilson, unfortunately, responsible for two back-breaking turnovers in that game. The fumble as he was trying to race into the end zone in the first half. And then later on, a pick six to Mylon Humphrey. Your final, Ravens 34, Steelers 17. Jones, Lamar Jackson may have re-entered the MVP conversation. 207 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, and Derrick Henry juggernauting his way to 162 on the ground.
Yeah, I still would go Allen. As poor as Allen played yesterday, I think he has MVP wrapped up personally, because I think they owe him one from last year where Lamar didn't deserve it. Lamar arguably having a better year. Allen had the better year last year. That'll all wash out. I'd be a little nervous if I'm Pittsburgh. Like, they've looked totally different without George Pickens the last few weeks. Yep. They've lost 2 straight. Baltimore knocking on the door. They're still the 3 seed as of right now, but that's far from a given. I think they have Kansas City next, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'd be nervous about them. I've never fully believed in them all year. And maybe they're starting to fall apart late in the year.
Yeah, and their defense has actually become a sore spot for them as well. That has been a problem, but they're still going to make it to the playoffs. Who wins the North? We shall see. Let's move on to Sunday. And it looks like we now have a little bit of a tie in the NFC South, you guys.
What happened?
I'll tell you what happened. The Lord Jesus chose a new quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons, and he played pretty well.
Intercepted!
That was Jesse Bates, the safety, with a pick six off of Drew Lock. The New York, they are not football Giants, with another pathetic effort. Falcons 34, Giants 7. No touchdowns for Michael Penix Jr. in his first start, but 18 for 27, 202 yards. Now we got this little race in the NFC South the last 2 weeks, Jones.
Yeah, the Falcons are on top of the division. They got 2 more games to go. Michael Penix, you'd assume, barring an injury, is going to start each of them. Here's what you have. Commanders. And then the Panthers to finish out the year. So 2 winnable games. I'm not sure I'd pick them this week against Washington, who we'll get to coming up. But Penix looked fine. I wouldn't say great, but fine in that outing.
Kyle Pitts did his best Kayshon Booty.
He did. That's true. Hunter Henry, Kayshon Booty, that is true. Judon got in the end zone as well. A couple of pick sixes that helped him out. Giants are now in the driver's seat for the number one pick. And right behind him, Patriots for the number 2 pick.
And Shedeur Sanders is miserable, just thinking that he may have to go to North Jersey to play the first 5 of years of his career. Hey, let's make our way to the Midwest, shall we?
Nice.
What happened?
I'll tell you what, Ben Johnson put on quite the audition for the Chicago Bears for next season.
A dip stumbled after taking the snap. But it doesn't matter. Connects with LaPorta for a Lions touchdown. Even when something goes wrong, it goes right for the Detroit Lions.
Now, the funny thing is it didn't go wrong. It was actually a scripted stumble play. The Detroit Lions watched Jordan Love and the Packers actually fall backwards, almost land on his ass, and throw a ball to Luke Musgrave 50 yards and almost get in the end zone against the Bears. So to impress his potential future employer, the Chicago Bears, Detroit Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson calls a purposeful stumble play to throw them off. And guess what? LaPorta is wide open. Goff, 336 and 3 touchdowns. Are the Lions your NFC favorite right now, Jones?
I think they're back to it. Yeah, I was nervous about some of the injuries on defense. Philly had a shaky loss yesterday, which, again, I know we'll get to coming up. I probably would have said Philly going into the weekend, so maybe I'm overreacting, but I don't know. Jalen Hurts, I'm assuming he'll be out of concussion protocol. Let's see. So I think they're definitely the team I'm rooting for. I think they are the best team in the NFC. That play call, though, if you haven't seen it, it's worth Googling the highlight where Jared Goff pretends to fall down. Jahmyr Gibbs pretends to hit the ground for the fumble on the ground. And then it's LaPorta streaking wide open. I would imagine Ben Johnson has that job sewed up anyway, but it was a good little thing to put on tape going against his, as you said, future employer.
He's going to name his price tag in Chicago, and he'll do wonders with that offense. Would he be the guy that you would want most to take over in New England where they're a complete blowout?
If I could have anyone, yes, but I don't see why he'd take that compared to other potential jobs. Drake May greater than Caleb Williams, but everything else here is a disaster, so I'd take the Bears job if I were him.
Speaking of teams scoring points and actually making for entertaining football, let's go down to the South, shall we?
What happened?
Oh, my gosh. Are Chuba and Bryce back? I think they are.
Hubbard. Chuba Hubbard dancing into the end zone, and a Panthers victory with a touchdown in overtime. Cardinals eliminated from the playoffs.
Oh, Kyler of Duty and the Cardinals eliminated 36-30, your final in overtime by Bryce Young, Chuba Hubbard, and the Panthers. Do I dare say, Jones, that the Panthers have been entertainingly frisky the last month or so?
100%. I don't know if that's a long tease for tears tomorrow, but that is a fun team, a fun team. The only game they've really gagged away is, oddly enough, the one they were favored in a couple of weeks ago, 2 weeks ago,
against the Cowboys.
Yeah. But yesterday, Hubbard was awesome. He's been awesome for them all year. Bryce Young looks like maybe he's not a complete and total bust. And just if you're the Patriots and you're watching how Carolina is actually winning games, not just playing tough, but actually winning games and beating the team that pantsed you 2 weeks ago in Arizona, that's a team on the rise. Patriots are doing the total opposite.
Exactly. Maybe if we could only find, like, a former sex addict for an offensive coordinator as well. Maybe.
He has a whole book about that, you know, Dave Canales.
Guy's doing a great job. It was awesome last year. He revitalized Baker. Now he's got the Panthers playing well, people believing in Bryce Young all over again, or for the first time in the NFL. I'm impressed. Now, if you want to be depressed, let's go to Jersey. Aaron Rodgers, and they played the Rams. It was not fun.
First and 10, fake to Williams. Here they go. Higby, 5, leaping, and the pylon touchdown. What a play. Rams have got the lead.
Yeah, the New York Jets lost 9-19 to the Rams. Hardly the greatest output for Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp and company, but Matthew Stafford and the NFC West leading Rams at 9-6. I got to ask you this. Is there a team you may least want to play more in the NFL heading into the playoffs than the white-hot Rams?
So I think they're that team. I would have said Tampa. Tampa would have been on my list as well, but I do think they're that team. They are very similar to Tampa in that they didn't have Cup. They didn't have Nacua for a while. They get them back. Yesterday was not pretty, as you pointed out, but they're flying across country. They're beating the Jets. I would not want to play the Rams. I wouldn't want McVay on the other side because they do have typically a ton of offensive firepower. They beat the Bills a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, I would not want to play them. They look like they're rounding into form at just the right time. And Aaron Rodgers kept it together for like 2 weeks against crappy opponents. They lost to the Dolphins in overtime, and then they got their win last week against the Jags. He looks to be cooked all over again.
256 in a tutty yesterday to his pal Devontae, but they will not be opening up a victory. Taco Bell are handing out tacos. Hey, speaking of enigmas, let's go to the nation's capital.
Hey, what happened?
I tell you what, somehow you can turn the ball over 5 times and still win.
Second and goal, 10 seconds. Daniels fires in.
This was by far the most entertaining game of the day. Your finals, Megos Commanders 36, Eagles 33. By the way, I love a good Joe Davis call. I think he turns it up to the 11 that I want on a big call.
Joe
sometimes.
Davis still weirds me out. He's not as young as I thought. I thought he was still like 25. He still weirds me out because he sounds 50 and he's like 32. So that still weirds me out. But no, that was a good call. I'll give him credit on that. That was a good call.
He's got the call on my favorite, my in the year in review, my favorite sports moment of the year, the Freddie Freeman home run.
Oh, that was, I mean, that was an awesome game and a good call. It's true. Yeah, he might.
Excellent call.
He's better suited to baseball. It's a fair point. And he's like their new Joe Buck now that Buck is doing Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
On Jaden Daniels,
mm-hmm.
as good as he is, like he's supremely talented. He's fun to watch running around or throwing.
Mm-hmm.
His ability in the clutch in some of these games is unbelievable for a guy who just got into the league on a team that really doesn't have a ton more than Drake May has. Like, he's got Terry McLaurin. That's something. But he's throwing game winners to Jamison Crowder, who's bounced around the league, and two touchdowns to Zaccheaus, and Zach Ertz when he's even out there. Like, mm-hmm. he's revitalized a bunch of bums for the most part. He has a defensive retread head coach.
Yep.
He really doesn't have a lot more to work with than Drake May. His ability to pull out these games at the end, especially against the Eagles, who had won 10 straight, I think it was.
Yep.
Very, very impressive. That's the most impressive thing about him.
Oh, yeah. They were playing for the number one seed in the NFC yesterday as well. You know, Hurts goes out with a concussion early. Pickett comes in. He gets dinged up. Another big day for Saquon as well. There's everything about that game that said the Eagles should and could have won. And yet somehow, like you said, this amazing clutch that Jaden Daniels is able to find. And by the way, for everyone who wants to like try to do a Daniels-May, Commanders-Patriots comp, Washington had the 27th-ranked offensive line in football last year. They were an absolute mess. Their defense stunk. Not a ton of playmakers. They had a McLaurin and not much else. And now look, they even cut their first-round cornerback from a few years ago in Emmanuel Forbes. And now look at the way they've turned things around. Do you think the Patriots are capable next year of a Commanders-esque turnaround?
100% capable, but you got to spend money. And you got to draft well. And like, do I trust the Patriots to do either of those things? No, but are they capable? Yeah, it's the NFL. You could turn it around in one off. I said it all offseason last year. If you want to turn it around, mm-hmm. you can, but you got to spend the money and draft well, and this team doesn't do either of those things.
They do not. I'll tell you somebody who does something really well. It's this guy in the land of cinnamon and chocolate-spiced chili out there in Cincinnati.
What happened?
Joe Burrow, that's what happened.
149 left. Looks like Garrett may have come across early. Could be a free play. Burrow to the end zone. Chase for the touchdown.
I don't know who. So final score in Cincinnati yesterday, Bengals 24, the Browns 6. Jones, I don't know who's going to have to take a step back or falter down the stretch to allow the Bengals to get into the playoffs in the
NFC. It's a bunch.
I don't think it's going to happen, but it stinks because I don't think there's a team you would want to play less than the Bengals right now because of the way Burrow's playing. Yesterday, he becomes the only quarterback with 250-plus yards and 3-plus touchdowns in 7 straight games. This is also coming off of him buying himself a Batmobile and then gifting all of his offensive linemen unique Japanese katanas. That's right, Rich Keefe. Burrow gave everyone their own Japanese sword for Christmas.
I'll tell you a little peek behind the curtain. After we did Grab Bag on Friday, I think it was, after the show, Keefe was pissed at himself for not mentioning that story.
Good.
All he wanted to do was talk about swords and katanas and, you know, samurai warriors.
He's the best, man.
Yeah, that's all he wanted to do. God. And Keefe dropped the ball on that. He was beating himself up after
Rich,
the show.
Rich, I got you.
So here's what needs to happen. The Broncos need to lose to Cincinnati, who they play head-to-head this week.
Okay.
And the Chiefs week 18. Both of those things could happen, okay?
Ooh, okay.
Like, I don't know if the Chiefs are going to need that game, but that could happen. And obviously, if you lose head-to-head to Cincinnati, that's a win for the Bengals. The Bengals would also need Indy and Miami to lose a game down the stretch. And, of course, Cincinnati would have to win out. Indy plays their final two. The Giants and Jags, I don't see them losing either of those games, but they are the Colts. Ooh. It's not like they're a great team. Mm-hmm. And then you also need the Dolphins to stub their toe against either the Browns or Jets. So I don't think it's happening for Joe Burrow, but I agree with you. That would be a fun team to see in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's too bad they lost that first week.
The Patriots played spoiler. They didn't realize they did it in week one, but the Patriots played spoiler all the way back in week one.
They took them to the hill. All right, let's race through the last couple. Let's go to Naptown, everyone.
What happened?
I'll tell you what, Jonathan Taylor redeemed himself bigly after last week.
First down, it's Taylor again. And Taylor explodes. Taylor's into the open field. He has one man to beat. No chance. And he'll hold out of the ball with two hands into the end zone. Touchdown, Colts, 65 yards.
That's right, 38-30, your final as the Colts take down their AFC South nemesis or rival, the Tennessee Titans. How about this yesterday, Jones? Jonathan Taylor and Anthony Richardson became the only running back and QB combo ever to rush for over 200 yards and over 70 yards in the same game, respectively. It's pretty nice.
Wow. I did not know that. Colts set a franchise record for rush yards, 335. Keefe, I think we should get credit for the Bozo touchdown parlay. Keefe had Jonathan Taylor in the Bozo touchdown parlay. He scored three times. So like, I feel like that should count in some way, shape, or form. And we should have seen this one coming. One week after he, like a moron, dropped the ball going into the end zone, he ripped off two long touchdown runs, three in total. Look, I mean, the Colts, I don't think are a good team, but they do have some talent on that roster.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hate Anthony Richardson. I liked him a lot when he came into the league. I don't hate what he can do. Obviously, he makes maddening plays here and there, but that's how they got to win games, run all over people, and they can do it.
And I like their little receiving trio there of Pierce, Downs, and Pittman as well. There's enough talent, maybe not to make a lot of noise, but to be consistently, to be in games and entertaining, they have that and they have then some. Hey, let's go out to Las Vegas. A really boring football game that absolutely screwed the Raiders' future. That's what happened.
Abdullah at the five. Still going. Abdullah, touchdown. He lets Powers Johnson spike it. And the Raiders back in front.
That would be 19 for the Raiders and 14 for the Jaguars. Nice long touchdown pass from old pal Mac Jones to Brian Thomas Jr., who goes over 1,000 yards. Best rookie receiver on the season. But here's the deal, Jones. Now that the Raiders won, they dropped themselves from first to fifth in the tankathon. They had Shedeur Sanders, who I believe the organization wants, clearly in their sights. But Antonio Pierce delivers the first overall draft pick now to his former team, the New York Giants.
Yep. That's a regrettable move by the Raiders. Like, I'm not all for tanking for the Patriots this year. They have their quarterback. But if I'm the Raiders and the Giants, I am trying like hell to race to the bottom. I agree with you. Brian Thomas Jr., beast. He's even making Mac look good week after week after week. So I think he has had the best rookie season. I'd still take Neighbors over him. Mm-hmm. I love Neighbors. But both of them are better than Marvin Harrison Jr., and it's not close. And I will also say they're a little better than Jalen Polk. It's a tight race, but they're slightly better than Polk, too.
I don't know. Higher ceiling on that Polk kid. The best is yet to come. All right. I know we're running out of time. One more, and we have to go to the Pacific Northwest for our last highlight. And what happened?
What happened?
Oh, we need to do it because it's in German, and there was quite the Endstand up there in Seattle.
Noch zugemacht, die 43.
Aber am Ende, wenn sie jetzt reinkommen, ist auch egal.
Eins von acht beim dritten Versuch.
Nächster Versuch, die Chance vielleicht. Und der ist gefangen in der Endzone.
Nein.
Unglaublich. AJ Barner, der Rookie mit dem Touchdown.
Der war stark.
He was upset. Yelled nine.
There's really nothing I love more than NFL highlights in German. They're just a different kind of drug. Vikings 27, Seahawks 24. The one thing we're not spending enough time talking about this year in the NFL, the work of Kevin O'Connell, Sammy Squarejaw, the Lego quarterback. Yesterday, three touchdowns, over 250 yards. Justin Jefferson, 10 for a buck 44 and two tutties. The Vikings are the sneaky best 13-2 team in the history of the NFL that no one is talking about.
Yeah.
Nine.
I still, like, you asked me NFC teams earlier. I'm like, Eagles, Lions, obviously. I don't take the Vikings seriously. I apologize, but O'Connell is doing tremendous, tremendous work there. I can't trust Sam Darnold in a playoff game on the road, like a bunch of wins on the road. I can't buy into that.
Yeah, understandably so, because he does have a past. He did see ghosts, but at the same time, like, they're doing amazing work, and they've got, like, between Addison and Jefferson and then Hawkinson coming back now. Like, that's a team
all
whose
the
offense.
Sons, yeah.
Yeah, you're not going to want all the Suns, exactly. Also around the rest of the league, it was Dolphins 29, 49ers 17, 49ers eliminated. And on the Sunday Night Football, the Cowboys squeaked out over the Buccaneers 26-24.
That was a crazy finish, that game.
It was. Yeah.
You know, like, Mayfield throws what should be touchdowns that get wrestled out at the goal line.
What happened?
They had more turnover.
Showing the pressure. Here it comes in the back. Jordan Lewis got there. Yeah. Mayfield pitches it forward. Somehow he got it. Rashad White gets a gain out of that. The ball taken away by the Cowboys.
Unreal.
White was on the way down. It's a run blend. Took it away. Incredible.
McCarthy might be saving his job. Like, I don't think he's going to be back, but he might be saving his job.
That's... Oh, I'm more confident McCarthy's back than Mayo. I 100%.
Really?
Oh, look how good they've looked with Cooper Rush. And what an awful overpay for Dakota Prescott.
Yeah, I like Dak, but Cooper Rush has been good. And that's what it's for everyone who says they're playing hard for Mayo. What the Cowboys are doing, that's what it looks like playing hard for your coach. And I don't think they should bring back McCarthy either, but that's what actually playing hard for your coach looks like. I'm not quite sure what the Patriots are doing, but it's something different than that. So there you go. That's what happened. Week 15 review throughout the NFL. Excellent, excellent work, Fitzy. I got to be when it was like Keith was here, I would have done a very terrible job with that. So good job, Fitzy. Giving us all the highlights, including German highlights in there, including, you know, lots of quality takes on all the games. I will say this about that game last night. Tampa, could completely slide out of the postseason, which is a team that I did not want to play. I thought was playing well. I thought it turned things around. Red flag there on national TV. So we'll get to all your thoughts. 617-779-7937. Still scheduled to be joined by Christian Gonzalez for man-to-man-to-man coverage. Three men, 10 questions. We'll do that later on. Plus, we'll get to our year in review, our first year in review here today on Jones and Keefe next.
Now more of Jones and Keefe on WEEI. It's certainly been a week.
Yeah, why don't you feel him out here, Keith?
Here's some of the best.
Get the chainsaw!
There's a whale at the compound! Get the chainsaw! Everybody pile in the minivan, chainsaw. We're going!
And worst...
You guys were as bad as the announcers.
It's Jones and Keefe's Week in Review.
The guy sucks! Get him out of here!
On WEEI.
Move over Week in Review. We have the year in review on Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It's Patriots Monday. We'll be joined by Christian Gonzalez sometime in the noontime hour. We'll get to man-to-man-to-man coverage. Three men, 10 questions. Jones and Fitzy in for Keefe today. But Fitzy, on this show, from time to time, we get accused of being Drake May honks. Mm-hmm. A little over the top in our support on Drake May. We cut him too much slack. We've crowned him before he's really accomplished anything. And I think this next clip will tell you a little something about how wrong that narrative is. This was Keefe and I the day after it was announced that Drake May would be the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots.
Keefe, you ready?
I am ready!
Let's go!
Wow!
Yes!
I'm lightheaded. So in your face, anybody who thinks we're a little over the top. In our support of Drake May.
And I'm lightheaded.
It actually went on a lot longer than that. It was most of the day, most of the show that day. I am still, you don't get the visual with that clip, Fitzy, but I'm still picking confetti out from under the desk in here. We had confetti guns ready to go that day. From Party City, by the way, which those are all done.
What?
I think I thought I read in the news, they're closing all these Party Cities?
Literally closing all of them.
So the one right up the road here is going to be
closed. Get your balloons while you can.
Well, good thing I already have extra confetti guns in the holster.
No
way. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my kids love. I got a Party City like 5 minutes down the road.
Hey, well, you better you better get there.
My 7-year-old thinks it's called Party Hardy, so that's where.
You ever see the Rice Krispie treat that they sell there?
Oh, it's massive.
Yeah, it's like poster board size. It's like 4-pound Rice Krispie treat. Yeah.
By the way, it's funny you mentioned that, Billy. I think the Rice Krispie treat may be the most underrated snack/dessert in America.
A fresh Rice Krispie treat is very tough to
make them all the time down here. Like, huge fan.
617-779-7937. Lots of controversy there on the phone line and on the text line. What is it? greatest snack? Most underrated snack? What did you say?
I think it's the most underrated snack/dessert because it can be both. It's not so cloyingly sweet that it is absolutely a dessert, but also you could serve it at dessert time anytime and nobody's going to bat a lash.
Okay. So there, add that to the discussion here today on Jones and Keefe. Fitzy in for Keefe. By the way, I like this text, 617-779-7937. Jones has to be the hardest working guy in the business showing up today. God bless you and Merry Christmas. I would like to say I am, but Greg revealed all of the flex time days off, and I was embarrassingly high on the list. I was not happy with my showing on that list.
How many flex days?
14.
Ooh, anything 15 and under, and I think you're doing yeoman's.
I was a good week away from Arkand. I mean, no one's going to catch him, but I think I had the next most. Now, I don't know if Greg was factoring in his very long Christmas vacation. I don't know if that was part of his flex time calculation. I don't know, but I was embarrassed by my number, quite frankly.
It definitely wasn't.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
No.
I don't think so either.
Oh, you mean Greg tilted the tables in his favor? No way. How many days did Keefe? I think Keefe is still taking paternity leave.
No. Keefe was at 9. Keefe had a very impressive showing.
Oh, you know what it was? It was because he had a lighter summer because he was not coupled back up with you yet again.
Right, because he worked 10 minutes a night. Or, you know, an hour and 10 minutes a night. Yeah, I mean, that helps. Right. That's true. Although, who am I? I did that for a decade plus. I know that game.
Those feel like flex days. Yeah.
But, yeah, I got to step my game up in 20. That's my New Year's resolution.
Well, listen, just get behind. You know
I'm going to take 20 next year. Yes,
I'm right there with you.
What did they used to say? James Devlin used to say, just get behind this ass. Jones, all you got to do, get behind this ass right here. I'm basically working every day now through the end of the year. So I got you.
See, that's actually the hardest working man in the business right there is Fitzy. But I appreciate the text shout out. And any chance I get to pat myself on the back,
oh,
I will.
Oh, man, no more Party City. I can't believe it.
Yeah, I hate to be the bit of a Grinch here in the holiday season. I apologize there, Fitzy. We'll get back to the Patriots. We have Christian Gonzalez scheduled to join us here on a Patriots Monday at some point in the noontime hour. More year in review as well. We'll get back into whether or not Jerod Mayo saved his job with a good first half yesterday. That's next.